Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. And these guys are the Four Seasons. That's Frankie Valli's voice. In this room. Frank, Paul, Bob, Ken, Chuck, Biff, all the guys we know that understand what it means to walk like a man. So thanks for tuning in this morning. Our program exists to introduce you to special guests that we think are impacting this community for Christ. And our special guest today is Rodney White. Rodney, I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Before we get to your testimony, I want to talk a little bit about a book called Grace Behind Bars that my wife, Gary, and I wrote. It was just published and released March 1st by Tyndale House in partnership with Focus on the Family. And it talks about our lives 25 years ago when I went to federal prison and how devastated our family was, how we basically said, when trouble comes, you either rebel against God or you surrender. And we surrendered and made the whole journey a God deal. And if it's a God deal, it's a good deal. And the book is encouraging to people because it is a good deal. It's about the redemptive power of Christ. It has a very happy ending. We've had people tell us, I haven't read a book since college, and I read this book in one day. And I guess that means it's simple to the point, but it does talk about how through Christ, no matter what trouble you're going through, he can turn it upside down and make it turn out good, which it did. And I would ask you to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Hobby Lobby, pick up a copy of the book, and if you read it and if you like it, it helps us by having you write a review on the book and sending it to Amazon. But we didn't really write it to sell it. We wrote it just to encourage people. So I hope Grace Behind Bars does encourage you, and I hope you will look it up and get a copy and let us know what you think. So for 20-plus years, I was the volunteer chaplain for the Denver Nuggets. Turned that position over to a great guy who I consider to be a lot better than I am as a chaplain, Kyle Speller. But during that period, a great man of God came through the program called Rodney White. And Rodney is still big, is still in shape, looks like he could play basketball right now. But how long was your NBA career?
And handsome. I don't understand why this.
Did I not say good looking?
No.
I meant to say handsome. Sorry, but I didn't want to make you nervous.
I'm not nervous, never. Never.
Good.
Well, obviously, thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. How long were you in the league?
Total 5 years.
Good.
5 years, in and out, because of, you know, some of the decisions I made. You know, but obviously still a great experience. It was I had an unbelievable time here at, you know, playing for the Nuggets and being a part of the city of Denver. Somehow I've got a connection here with family. Here in the Springs and in Denver. So it's kind of a second home. And, you know, I'm here now trying to do what I can as far as helping different genres of people, you know, just truly being of service and using my platform, you know, using my size and, you know, the 6'9 frame and maybe a smile here and there to tap into some of these people's lives.
Well, let's talk about how you came to faith in Christ. That's kind of what this show's about. Right. So where were you raised, Rodney?
Oh, circus growing up. No stability, really, as far as one particular place. I had an unbelievable mom, which I still have, you know, and she's definitely the person who introduced me to Christ and raised me that way. When she was 24, when she had me, and it was just me and her. And that's when she became a Christian. So all of my, you know, my younger years, I was in the church. Once I reached, like, probably my teenage years, I hit that really rebellious stage of, you know, me and I have, you know, my buddy Pastor B here today. And, you know, my mom's answer to everything was just pray. And, you know, growing up, sometimes you feel like you need more answers than just pray. So I tried to find my own answers. And come full circle now at 36 years old, everything that she's, you know, implemented in me and all of the foundation that was set up for me is, you know, it's here. And I believe, you know, and it took so many, you know, attempts of me trying to figure out life on my own to realize that, one, I can't do it by myself. And two, realizing what Jesus Christ really means. And that's truly the energy of love and actually like caring for the next man more than yourself. And,
you know, the seminary profs would teach there's a perfect will of God that kind of takes you from point A in a straight line to where he wants you to go. But what most of us do is through the free will he extends to us, we live what's called the permissive will of God, which means we kind of meander out making decisions that may not at all match up with his perfect will. But he keeps bringing it back once we're in relationship with him to that line he wants us to eventually achieve and follow. So don't feel like the Lone Ranger there, pal. Everybody goes through those stretches. Like I said in the introduction, mine went to federal prison at age 42. So I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it's over. But it's all designed in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us into who he wanted us to be as his men from the beginning of time. So everything works together for good. He turns the bad into good. He forgives us for sins, gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. And yet, if we just listen to these women, our moms and our wives that God puts in our lives, because it sounds like she told you the right stuff when you were little.
Oh, from the beginning. Yes, I think I was I definitely was like a young missionary. I was out in the streets. You know, I grew up in North Philadelphia, so it was pretty tough upbringing. And, you know, it was hard, you know, the whole turn the other cheek and just pray. And these guys were pretty vicious outside. But as a kid, you know, that was my foundation. And for sure, like now at this point in my life, it's an amazing feeling to know that I have both things. You know, I have God in my corner, and then I have an unbelievable career behind me that, you know, it's going to help the next person, you know, the next family. You know, for me, it's not about me anymore. You know, it's about what can I do?
So when did you know you were a great basketball player, NBA type potential? How old were you?
18. I was a late bloomer.
That's not so late.
Well, I went to the NBA a year after that.
You did?
Yeah, they told me I was somewhere near the door, and I kicked it off. So, you know, I was able to visualize. You know, I understood that process as a child of being able to see something, and then why can't I do it? You know, with the proper practice, or maybe even imitations, which maybe I'll have an imitation of you at some point soon. Just a little bit of studying of you. But it all happened so fast. Unfortunately, I had a lot of men in my life that saw my potential and I didn't realize it. So they used and manipulated me. So that was a process in itself, trying to figure out who's real and who's not. And, you know, they sold this dream to me, and I jumped on it because, you know, financially it made a lot of sense for me and my mom. It's just us two, no siblings. And I had opportunity to take care of my mom and buy lavish things. You know, that's really what my mindset was. And I got there and it was a whole new ball game. You know, there's a level of professionalism that I didn't understand. You know, I didn't realize how big of the business was from that standpoint. I just wanted to play basketball and have fancy things. And obviously that wasn't my purpose. You know, I had a really good career. I played 14 years total. After the NBA, I went overseas and was able to see the world through multiple lenses. And that kind of led up to this point. You know, seeing how people actually live in so many different ways and how spoiled or blessed, you know, I'd like to say that we have it here in America.
Amen.
And, you know, with that being said, it was just like, man, there's so many people that are doing worse than you, Rod. Like on your worst days, you have nothing to complain about. And then that turned into what are you going to do about it?
Amen.
And now there's been some avenues where I can actually get out there and do these things.
Tell me about some of the guys Let's see if we got notes to compare. Some guys in the NBA that you looked up to and you look back on their lives and think they had it together. I wish, like, the first one for me that pops into my mind was David Robinson. He would come usually with almost the whole roster to chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I did it, I kind of surprised him. Second time he was ready, but I just said, "Hey, David, rather than me do chapel tonight, why don't you just share with us what you learned today in your quiet time?" Because I knew what his discipline was. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Really?" Looks at me like, "You sure?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm sure. Go." And he went. He did much better chapel than I could have done. But he's the first one that popped into my mind, David Robinson, as far as an example of what God wants us to be as his men. Does anybody pop in your mind?
Juwan Howard.
Really?
For sure. Class act.
Good.
Man of God. You know, just the way he carried himself, the energy, you know, that he stayed consistent with, you know, seeing an older player that was hands down
the best.
Juwan Howard.
Good. My guest today is Rodney White, former NBA player, full-time Bible packing, sin hating, two-fisted Christian at this point.
That's his describing.
And a great guy who's out there living his life for Christ and using the platform God gave him as an ex-NBA player and international player to influence others to Christ. So what's it look like for you now, day in, day out, Rodney? What all are you doing?
Well, we definitely have to give a huge shout out to the Dream Center. Everything that I'm currently doing is definitely under that umbrella. You know, I would encourage everybody to check us out at dreamcenter.org, and you can see all of the events that we, you know, are currently doing. You know, and that varies from, you know, something which is not simple, but as simple as adopting a block, going to specific neighborhoods that are, you know, have challenged neighborhoods where, you know, we're just embracing. We're really out there with, you know, like touching the people. You know what I mean? Like literally letting them know that Jesus is actually not just in the church, that he's outside and there's people that are willing to love and to give with no angles other than, you know, for the service of Christ.
Meet them where they are.
Got to go to them,
yeah.
You know, and that's, I know that the Dream Center's vision, that is, you know, where we really specialize is being, you know, involved with, you know, the mothers and the kids of incarcerated inmates. And then also when these guys come home, you know, we do a really good job of trying to help that process of getting them back into society and letting them know that there's support. And I just, you know, having me around, we do like on Thursdays, we play basketball, we get these guys out the facilities. And it's just that opportunity for them to, you know, kind of, you know, forget about some of the things that they're going through and just be around love and positive men, you know, and positive souls. And, you know, it's doing it's due diligence for sure.
That's good. You know, May 22nd was the 25th anniversary of when I was released from prison. And I went to prison for bank fraud involved in a real estate deal that happened in 1984. So that's a long time ago. 1992, 25 years ago is when I was in prison. That was a long time ago on one hand. On the other hand, I woke up on the 22nd and I felt so sad and heavy about the pain I'd caused my wife and kids and friends. And it just like took me half a day to dry up, quit crying. I just felt like, gee, is this ever going to go away? And the answer is, probably not. I mean, I was promised probation. Nobody lost any money. I thought I was doing the right thing. Now, God had lessons for me, which is why I went, but legally it never made sense. So there are guys incarcerated where it doesn't make sense to them or anybody else, but most of the guys did something. I mean, I did something. I borrowed some money to help some friends, and it was the wrong thing to do. Even though the money was repaid, I was called a straw borrower. And the FBI and the U.S. attorney that prosecuted me were just doing their jobs. And off I went, but just at the expense of my wife and kids, like I said. So what you're doing there with with folks that are incarcerated and their families is incredible, because I can tell you from having been on the inside, you just feel like you've let everybody down, and you're almost helpless as to what you can do for your kids. I know we've done some tickets, I think, where we try to make the dads the hero. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm here, I'm stuck behind bars, but I got a ticket or two for you kids here, but we'll do that some more. But it really is a wonderful thing you're doing, reaching out to those people, because they really feel like, I have messed this up totally, and I've really messed my family up totally.
Well, you know what? With that being said, even with your situation and even how you feel, Mom gave me one unbelievable lesson that has stuck with me, and I'd like to share it if that's possible.
I'm getting my pen out here.
There you go. It's, you know, when I love on people, or when I see my mom praying with all types of people, you know, from, you know, some of the most gangster guys to, you know, obviously her peers, is that Rod, she just kept always telling me, Rod, these people don't answer to me. They answer to God. And that took the judgmental aspect away from everything that I do. And, you know, when you look at things like that, it's a lot easier to just love on people as opposed to, you know, looking at their situation or any of those things, because, you know, we have an unbelievable God who's, you know, he's there to, you know, he's the big judge. The rest of us, we're all humans. And within that, in that human realm, we're subject to mistakes. We're subject to our environment and situational things that, you know, just love on each other. And that's the message that should be passed down, as opposed to even trying to analyze and figure out the next man's personal situations. Just be judgmental free.
Well,
there's a God that does that.
Well put. You're listening to the voice of Rodney White, my guest today on You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you missed the first part, we're just talking a little bit about Rodney's life as an NBA player, as an international player for 10 more years, and now as a strong Christian working with the Denver Dream Center. DenverDreamCenter.org is where you can look these guys up and see what they're about. And if you're so inclined, I would say we need money for all kinds of programs. So think about just locking into your mind as you're listening, DenverDreamCenter.org. Check them out, see what they're doing, and know that you'll be investing wisely in all kinds of great programs that Rodney White's a part of. So as a Christian, Rodney,
yes,
do you feel as much joy as your face seems to indicate you feel? Because
I am genuinely this happy, yes.
My sister, Lana, had a saying, which I love. She used to tell her little girls when they were in bad moods, she'd say, arrange your face in a pleasant way. Mm-hmm. Well, your face is arranged in a pleasant way.
Yes.
And that's the joy of Christ, I assume.
Yes. It's actually my faith, just knowing that, you know, God has a plan for me. Again, it's not about me. You know, I've had the blessings that, from a personal standpoint, you know, that I wanted. And now, you know, like having this opportunity, you know, just, you know, what I've done, you know, there was a long period of time that I felt like, you know, I didn't understand. And I asked God, why did he put me in this position, you know, to be such, you know, I had to be a leader. I had to be this, you know, this caregiver for my family and for all these people. And I wasn't sure that was the role I wanted. And now, like I said, coming full circle, this is what it was for. You know, all of those, you know, I had such high expectations. I was the number 9th pick in the draft and didn't know what that meant. And then my rookie season, I didn't play much. So, you know, the expectations and all of the stuff you hear in the background. And, you know, I just didn't know why. Like, I just wanted to play basketball, and now I know why. And even now, you know, my days aren't, you know, they're not always sunny, but I also realize, you know, who I'm doing it for. And amen. that inside, for sure, like, you know, I Pastor B, you know, he's running the Dream Center, and we have some pretty intimate conversations. And, you know, on my worst days, I may cry, but pretty much 6-7 days out the week, you know, I'm trying to make people laugh, and I'm, you know, this is really who I am, and that's what's been implemented in me through my faith.
Well, God is a God of the miraculous. I know that. He's still in the miracle business. He's also, though, a God of order and logic. And so it doesn't surprise me that you look now back on your basketball career and see it as a platform that will last forever and impact people, influence people, cause people to be interested in what it is you have to say. And now you have the message to match that incredibly popular platform of being a professional athlete. You have the message to match by saying, it ain't about me, pal. It's about Jesus Christ and how he changed my life and gave me freedom and hope and purpose and meaning. And that's, I say good for you, because most people don't ever get around to this, and you're around to it at a very young age. You're going to influence thousands of young people who watching those athletes think, that's what I want to do. And you're like, well, there's a verse in Colossians that says, work heartily as unto the Lord, not merely for earthly masters. So good for you, Rodney, that you've seen God's order and logic, but now the miraculous that he can use all of that background, weave it together for a beautiful tapestry and fertilizer to spread over all the lives you're going to be in touch with. And it sounds like you're meeting people every day.
Oh, we're just getting started. You know, we've got, you know, again, go to dreamcenter.org to see what we have. And then there's things that are coming. I'm going to do multiple basketball camps, some individual training. And it's really just to, you know, to use my platform as far as basketball, my knowledge, my story, but then also adding the faith piece to it. And that's, you know, that's going to be huge because of the demographic that we get to touch. You know, there's a lot of kids out there that feel hopeless, and even more so, you know, as we move towards, like, you know, this period, I like to say paradigm in time, where consumerism is at its all-time high, where everything is being sold, and if you don't have a certain material, you feel less than. And that's a barrier that I believe needs to be broken, because that's something even us as athletes, you know, subconsciously, we don't realize that we're part of that. You know, we make these kids, or we give the impression that our life is wonderful because we have the Bentley in the house, the same thing that maybe a rapper may do. And when you really think of substance, you know, how is that helping at all? You know, kids that will never be able to buy a Bentley, and now their life, they're chasing things and maybe end up in jail for trying to chase money. When, you know, if you just, you know, it's a snowball effect. You know, when you start with love and send that message, trust me, that next person will also share that message. So Dream Center has nothing but love coming from us. And we like to use basketball and sports and things that, you know, that within that community that we know is going to be like that bridge. You know, so if it's sports or if it's basketball, we use that bridge to get to these people. And so we've got camps coming up, and, you know, I'll be around, man. I'm accessible, and, you know, everybody that I run into, you know, it's like, who is he, you know, or they know me. But all that goes out the window as soon as you get to deal with me, you know, one-on-one. And so come support us, man. I need more people like myself that, you know, really just want to help some people, man.
You know, when I was in college, I had a coach that reminds me of what your life stands for now, Coach Stavely up at the University of Colorado. And I was a baby Christian. And just for my own growth, he would make me go Sunday mornings with three or four other athletes to speak in churches.
Mm-hmm.
But what changed for me was Saturday nights, 10:30, I'd have to think, well, you know, I better go home back to my apartment and get some sleep,
because
Coach Dan's going to be there.
Right.
Pick me up, and I need to look sharp, be alert. Right. So I would shut it down 3 hours before everybody else did, just to...
In preparation for a Sunday morning.
Absolutely. And that doesn't mean I wasn't doing, you know, as much craziness as I could.
Hey. Nobody needs to know that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's just, it's amazing how the common ground of athletics and sports can help accelerate the pace with which people are interested and accept you. And so it's nice to know that your star is never going to fade from what you did. What you did, very few people in history have ever done. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's got to be like less than 1% of people who think I want to be a big time pro athlete make it. Mm-hmm. Well, you made it. You made it for quite a nice long time, and now you're using it to encourage other people in their own walk, their own faith path. So good job, Rodney, and good job, Pastor B, as you call him.
Pastor B, that's Brian, but he's Pastor B. He's actually, you guys can't see him, he's African-American. No, he's actually vanilla.
He thinks he is.
But he texts African-American.
You know what Tommy Hammonds used to call me? I'd say, fellas, I apologize that I'm white. And he'd say, hey, you're double white. Meaning top of the head
top and
face. But gotcha. I tell you what, those teams with Hammonds and LaFonso, Bryant Stith, what a great gentleman he was. Dikembe Mutombo,
mm-hmm.
He comes into chapel one day and says, hey, Bowman, your hair looks really bad today.
Oh, no.
And I said, Dikembe, my hair looks the same as it always looks. And he said, no, you're really swirling it around up there. So I guess the world from 7'2" looks different.
I was going to ask you if your comb over was facing the mountains or was it facing east, because I'm lost in the building.
I'm telling you guys, with Donald Trump as president, this style hair I'm wearing is soon going to be very fashionable.
Swaggy. This is the new trend.
This is the new trend, buddy boy.
Yep.
So Dream Center, DenverDreamCenter.org. You listeners, please find us and know that Rodney White is down there doing his best to help influence all kinds of folks for Christ. Rodney, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. We've got clothes. We've got gear, too, that, you know, just throwing that out there. So, like, you know, as a team, we're fashionable. We present ourselves well.
Good.
And we'd like for, you know, other people to come and support us as much as possible. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, friend.
You're a wonderful soul.
Well, thank you. And, folks, we appreciate you listening. And we appreciate you letting us know that you understand what we're trying to do on this program in terms of sharing the simple truth in the Bible. You can have a relationship with Jesus by just asking him. See you next week on You Get the Blessing.